Blog Talk Radio.
Trouble. I don't even know where that music came from, quite honestly. So I'm not sure if you can even hear me. I'm just going to assume that you can. If you are listening and you're on Facebook, please send me a message that you can hear me. I'm going to turn on the chat here. And if you are online, you can join me in the chat room. And you can let me know if you can hear me from there also. So anyway, again, my name is Holly Knight, and this is TWN Radio. So to kind of give you a little bit of background information, there are two radio shows, technically, I guess, under the TWN Radio Network. That's Journeys with Julie is her show. She's normally on tonight. This is her night, but she's not feeling well. So instead of me doing Prism Radio, which is my show, on occasion we do a combined TWN radio show. So that is tonight. And just to fill in for her, I thought I would do it that way. So again, if you are listening, join me in the chat room. Send me a message on Facebook. I'm going to be watching the Trans Women National page. And that's where the TWN radio link is to come into this channel. So without the disclaimer before, I'm going to play a little disclaimer and we'll be right back. Please be aware that the opinions of our guests and our live callers is just that, their opinions. And may or may not reflect upon the opinions or views of Trans Women National, TWN Radio, Prism Radio, Holly Knight, or Julie Millwood. Also, although this show is usually suited for all ages, we do recommend that anyone under the age of 16 be accompanied with a parent or guardian. If you have any comments or questions, please let us know, and you can find more information on our website at www.transwomennational.org. Thank you. Okay, and welcome back to TWN Radio. My name is Holly Knight. I'm your host tonight. We're going to be talking about a lady by the name of Holly Woodlawn. And you probably have not heard of her until recently. some of you that's been around a little while may probably know the name or have heard the name. But she recently passed away. I'm going to give you an obituary that I found about her passing. It says, Holly Woodlawn, a transgender actress of the 1970s, who was Andy Warhol's muse and inspired Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side, died on Sunday in Los Angeles following a battle with cancer. She was 69 years old. U.S. media said Woodlawn, who recently appeared in two episodes of Amazon's dark transgender comedy, Transparent, had suffered from alcohol and substance abuse for years. Born Geraldo Dankal, Dankal, in Puerto Rico, she changed her name to Holly Woodlawn after meeting Warhol and appeared in two of the artist's films. The film names were Trash and Women in Revolt. Joe D'Alessandro, who starred alongside Woodlawn in Trash, said he was with her when she died. At 3:06 p.m. L.A. time, she passed away, he tweeted Sunday. Woodlawn will be remembered for inspiring the lyrics to Reed's 1972 track Walk on the Wild Side, written after she left her home in Miami at age 16 and hitchhiked to New York. So the beginning words of that song, if you've not heard it, says, Holly came from Miami, FLA, hitchhiked her way across the USA, plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side, the song goes. So it's a pretty interesting song to begin with, but I'll play it. I think I've got it downloaded. I'll play it for you here in a little bit, and so you can hear it. But give you some other information, and this is from a different site, so I may repeat myself a little bit, but Woodlawn was born in Juan Diaz, Puerto Rico, to an American soldier of German descent, and Amita Rodriguez, a native Puerto Rican, and grew up in Miami Beach, where she came out as a young age. She adopted the name Holly from the heroine of Breakfast at Tiffany's, and in 1969 added the surname from a sign she saw on an episode of I Love Lucy. And changed her name. She began to tell people she was the heiress of Woodlawn Cemetery. So we're going to talk about her a little bit, and I want to say before we go any farther, the reason that I'm doing this is not to recognize an amazing pioneer that paved the way for freedoms and privileges and rights for women, trans women, Hispanic women. In fact, she probably did a lot to... And maybe a little bit in the other way as far as inspiring people to do things. But as you get to know her a little bit, there's a few things she clearly did it her way. And there's some admiration that goes into that. And we have admired people for years that kind of did it their way and burned out early. She lived to 69. She was ill for a year or two before that. Drug abuse, alcoholism, that type of thing really took its toll. But she lived a very, very interesting life. And so more just because the one thing that catches my attention is at age 16, she left Miami, Florida, at age 16, left Florida and hitchhiked to New York. And I have not discovered anything for any reason that there was any kind of abuse or anything like that she had to get out at 16. But I think it's implied, at least from some things that I've been reading about her, is that it was just she felt that she needed to move and she needed to get away and she needed to try to figure herself out and become herself. So in 1962, Holly left Florida and said age of, depends on what you read, age of 15 or 16. She recollects that I hawked some jewelry and made it all the way to Georgia where the money ran out and had to hitchhike the rest of the way to New York City. By 1969, she had considered sex reassignment surgery but decided against it. Now, transitioning is really, really difficult today. It's very difficult in so many ways. A lot of us consider moving away and doing things, but we decide against it. Mostly, some of us do, but mostly we decide against it because there's no support network when we move away a lot of times. And this young person at 15 and 16 moved to New York City from Miami. Miami wasn't the same then as it is today. And New York City is this giant city, and amazing that she even made it alive, especially going through Georgia and going through some of the southern states in those days. Who knows what, and hitchhiking, who knows what she ran into. So she was an actress and her notoriety came from Andy Warhol. Woodlawn met Andy Warhol at the factory at a screening of Flesh in 1968. Through him, she met Jackie Curtis, who cast Woodlawn in her play Heaven Grand and Amber Orbit in the autumn of 1969. In October, she was given a bit role in Trash, but so impressed director Paul Morrissey that she was given a much larger role. In 1970, she received word from the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Science that George Cukor, C-U-K-O-R, supported by others, was petitioning the Academy to nominate her for Best Actress for her work in Trash. However, nothing came of this campaign. So again, I'm talking about Holly Woodlawn, and she's somewhat infamous, but famous for a couple of things, and transgender paving the way, at least in partly in the acting world. And again, I guess maybe those that dealt with her because of her antics, I guess, may have harmed some moving forward. Who knows? In May of 1971, Woodlawn replaced Candy Darling in the La Mama Theater in a production of Vain Victory, written and directed by Jackie Curtis. She was arrested and briefly incarcerated in Puerto Rico after being caught shoplifting. Woodlawn created a stir when she was arrested in New York City after impersonating the wife of the French ambassador to the United Nations. Crazy person. I mean, it sounds like she was a talented actress and still had these things. Of course, she probably wasn't making very much money, but she still had these things that she did to cause some self-destruct. When arrested, she was taken to the women's house of detention, then transferred to a men's facility when her assigned sex at birth was discovered. If you see a picture, you can see how that could happen. It looks like she was... again, some of you I'm going to offend with this word, this dangerous, offensive word to some of you, but it looks like she passed pretty good. And so I can see how she would have been mistaken. And then, of course, her assigned sex at birth, discovered in those days for sure, even today, moved to a male facility. In 1971, director Robert Kaplan and cinematographer Paul Glickman concocted the idea of a movie whose premise would be using a transgender woman as a lead in a film without revealing the sex of the actress. Woodlawn played a young, starstruck girl hoping for success as an actress in New York City. The film Scarecrow in a Garden of Cucumbers was a low-budget, 16mm unsuccessful musical feature. The song In the Very Last Row, written by Marshall Barer, was performed by Bette Midler. That song, again, is In the Very Last Row. Interesting. I like the idea. I had a conversation today with some people talking about actresses that are trans trying to be in the world and just playing a role and doesn't have to play a trans role. And sounds like this Robert Kaplan had a pretty good idea about doing that. Then in 1977, Woodlawn moved to San Francisco. She returned to New York later in the year, appearing on Geraldo Rivera's talk show before being jailed again in 1978 for violating terms of probation. She released on the appeal of politician Ethan Ghetto, G-E-T-O, who helped organize a benefit for her. By 1979, she surrendered to a faltering career, cut her hair, and moved back to her parents' home in Miami while working there in Miami. Cut her hair. So it doesn't say, but it sounds like maybe in the move back in parents' home, maybe she did a reverse, possibly. Who knows? Detransitioned. Back in New York in the mid-1980s, she became a featured singer in Gabrielle Rotello's Downtown Dukes and Divas revues at clubs such as the Limelight and the Padillion, a Paladin, and a star of various musicals and revues mounted by the songwriters and producing team of Scott Whitman and Mark Shaiman. In 1991, she published her autobiography, Holly Woodlawn, Story, A Low Life in High Heels. That is the Holly Woodlawn Story, A Low Life in High Heels, with writer Jeff Copeland. During the 1990s, Woodlawn achieved a modest film and theatrical comeback, making cameo appearances in productions such as Night Owl, 1993, and Billie Holiday's Scream Kiss, 1998. After Warhol's death, she was interviewed frequently on his life and influence. At the time of her death, she resided in West Hollywood, where in the late 1990s she participated in Riot Girl shows with Revolution Rising and recorded spoken word for songs and experimental recordings by the band Lucid Nation. Woodlawn began performing in the cabaret shows and sold out New York and Los Angeles performances in the early 2000s. She continued to travel with her cabaret show, most recently appearing in Manhattan's Laurie Beachman's Theater in 2013. So the book, again, was called The Holly Woodlawn Story, A Low Life in High Heels. And there is one comment about the book that I found pretty interesting, pretty cutting a little bit, but maybe somewhat honest, at least an attempt to be honest about Holly. These are some quotes about this from this person. Holly shows how she has talking about the book. Holly shows how she has seen so much and been through so much. Though she never mentioned being directly involved, she stated that she saw the Stonewall riots as they happened, and she remembered when gay men were first coming down with what would be called AIDS. She was there to see the rise of Studio 54. She even mentions being around before the B-52s and Blondie became famous. Holly goes through the struggles that many transgendered people face, and for those of you that are not aware, transgendered is a bit derogatory. it's like being gayed, G-A-Y-E-D, transgendered. Again, it's a little offensive. But she is never able to vocalize that or politicize the issue. In this book, she faces homelessness, job insecurity, poverty, and rampant drug and alcohol abuse. I wish she could have pointed to her life as a reason for gender conformists of any sexuality to support trans individuals. Then again, this book and Holly herself are highly apolitical. Further, her identification as a gay man, a woman, and a transvestite are blurred here. Again, this is from, I believe, the transvestite identification was from Holly, and from the book, and of course in the 60s for sure, that was the word used for cross-dressers and a lot of transsexuals. In fact, she goes into detail about her sexual contact with women, but speaks quickly of her contact with men. I am not sure what explained the heterosexualism behind that. I'm not sure what he's actually talking about here, this person. Though she has seen and done much, Holly is not a role model here. She is terribly irresponsible. She runs romantic relationships that would have been life-sustaining for her. She lies to people. She runs away from problems rather than facing them. She never mentions saving any money. She is obviously drug and alcohol addicted, but just laughs those issues off. This was written, of course, after her book was written, so she was still alive at the time this was written. On the other hand, Holly admits that she is from Puerto Rico. However, her identification with Puerto Ricans and other people of color is close to nil. She portrays Puerto Ricans as aggressive and dangerous. She refers to Puerto Rican lesbians as chili there's some words taken out of this. She equally says nasty things about African Americans. Though she stated that she supported the civil rights movement and has black relatives, she pretty much abandons her ethnicity. And she as she arrives on the mainland. Though she had physical relationships with Latino and black men, she only romanced white men throughout the book. She seems like she can promote gay and feminine people, but she leaves people of color in the dust. Additionally, though, this book is sprinkled with French expressions. One would never think that Holly knew or remembered any Spanish. At one point, there's a headline written in Spanish that is so broken, even a freshman in high school level Spanish could correct it. Whether this signifies that Holly is illiterate in Spanish or that her written assistant, Jeffrey Copeland, doesn't know any Spanish, I'm not sure, but it's pretty pathetic no matter what the cause. The first two chapters of the book differ from the rest of the book. Obviously, they want to place campiness in the height of her fame first before they go into her childhood. Her epilogue says close to nothing. She obviously wasn't thinking hard about the conclusion. So, Holly had quite a bit of issues, quite honestly. And again, I don't want to romanticize at all this person or what she did and what things that she did. But I will tell you that someone, not to give excuses by any means, but to live that life and to try to get through that life had to be so difficult. I can't imagine how difficult it had to be, and the things that she had to go through would cause some of that, possibly. Again, this is a one-sided view, though. The book here, from the person talking about the book, clearly there's some people, Andy Warhol, Jackie Curtis, the Joe D'Alessandro, some people that really cared about her and helped her go through things was really, really important. So, as I said, the main thing is the reason of this is for people to be aware of this person. I don't want to glamorize this person's life by talking about it on her life on the show. I think in some ways, kind of like some things not to do, but there are some things just like a lot of us. We're all flawed in some way, and we all have some great things in some ways, and we care about people by looking at the great things and trying to be positive about the great things. And this person had guts. This person had a level of I guess, strength maybe in some ways to search for self. I think just what I've been reading and some of the things that she did, and I know some people like this, and I don't want to make any kind of diagnosis clearly on just in the research that I've been doing, but in the transgender community, there are people that deal with, we all deal with our matching our gender identity with our expression. And I will tell you that it's easier, it's never easy for any of us, but it's easier for us to, that are somewhat binary-ish, single gender-ish, not bi-gender-ish. And what I mean is, for example, a person born with one gender, let's say born a male gender, genitalia, transitioning to female. And that's what this person, Holly, was. And it is easier when that identity is clearly in that person's mind feminine, in a binary single gender identity, and that person works toward that, and it's there's less confusion on where I fit in the world and what happens and how I fit into my existence. But it looks like this person, Holly, had a little bit of a bi-gender identity. And I'm going to go the other direction, is the single gender, like the encyclopedia definition of a crossdresser. Someone that probably fully identifies or mostly identifies as male, but likes to dress in women's clothing on occasion. The person that is happy with doing that and does that for their whole life they're happier, they're content. There's not as much internalized oppression necessarily in dealing with those things. Internalized anger and frustration, there are some, but there's less. But the people that I know that are kind of stuck in the middle somewhere, and as much, quite honestly, I think that's where most of us really probably are. We have something of both genders, no doubt. But some people have this ability or desire to maybe to go farther with their gender, but just mentally they're not that far. And talk about it in another way is that if you let's say you have a scale of and this is not completely fair, but you get the idea. Let's say you have a scale and you have, let's say it's a ruler, it's 0 to 12. And let's say it's a male to female transgender person, M to F transgender person. And a 0, let's say, is a cisgender male that identifies fully as male, and birth sex was male. And a transsexual that goes through surgery and exists fully most of the life feminine and wants to be a woman is up around 10, 11, and 12. Born male, but identifies fully or mostly fully as a female. So the cross-dressers will be down like the 2, 3, or 4 as far as their identity, strength of a feminine. And I'm not using it as a bad thing by any means, just their identity doesn't have as much female identity. There's let's say 80% male and 20% female. they're still transgender and it's still, but the those that can accept that and live with that, that I know that have done that really well, are very, very happy, very, very content. And they like to be the girl on occasion, and they're cool with that. And the people around them are cool with that. Those that fully transition surgery and stuff, they've matched their identity, they're happy, they're content. But there's some of us that I know that are that exist like that 80-20 person. They're like 20% female, but they really identify in their brain they're more like 70% or 80%. And they stay kind of miserable. There's like there's this edge to them that is sad and frustrated and discouraged and disappointed. And so they exist more as male and want to be more as female. But on occasion, I do know some people like this. On occasion, because of their ability financially or their ability in some ways or their just desire, kind of like a personality, kind of a perfectionist personality, whatever it is, they go the opposite direction. They may be more mentally gender identity in that male version. They may be more like that 80-20 person that's 80% male, but they're living 80% as a female. So on the flip side, they're not as happy and frustrated and discouraged and disappointed and sad. The feeling I get from this situation is that this person clearly was not happy, was not happy with some things. The drug and alcohol abuse and things could have been its cause, and some other things earlier. And I know that once you get kind of hooked, it's difficult to get off, and that could have been the cause of all of the damage. But you get the feeling when you read about her that there was some sadness, some discouraging issues there. Other than who knows, she might have been just a little crazy. impersonating the wife of the French ambassador of the United Nations, who does that? I mean, who just? What kind of thinking? And it's kind of pretty good for a movie and pretty good for a book. But she was actually arrested for impersonating the wife of the French ambassador to the United Nations. That's amazing. Did she think she looked like the person? I don't know. So anyway, some lessons to learn there. You draw your own conclusions. Those are my conclusions, or not even my conclusions, just my thoughts and some considerations on that. Some other things going on. My show is the second and fourth Monday of each month. And in fact, my next show, which will be next week now, looks like, will be my 100th radio show. Prism Radio 100, or my 100th show. I'm still working on my guest. Hopefully it will work out good. And then Julie hopefully will be feeling better, and she will be here the week after. If Trans Women National, our meeting is going to be in a couple weeks. We have it every third Saturday. And so the next one will be the 19th of December, and we will have a turkey and ham Thanksgiving dinner, and it will be potluck. We would like to have people bring cover dishes, vegetables, other meats if you want, desserts, salads, side items, that type of thing, potatoes. So that's at 6 o'clock on the third Saturday of each month, which this Saturday will be this month will be the 19th. If you want information, you can go to the transwomennational.org website. It's got information about the meeting and all kinds of other things there. So with that said, I just wanted to kind of get in here, fill in for Julie, kind of like a last-minute deal. And talk about Holly Woodlawn and her life, and say goodbye to someone that clearly lived their life. Hopefully she was happy, and hopefully she lived it exactly the way that she wanted to live it. So as tribute to my previous So I have Wizard of Oz used to be the show I used to close my Prism radio shows on. I'm going to, not Wizard of Oz, but Over the Rainbow. I am going to try to play that. I think it's, I got on here to close today. But I also want to play Walk on the Wild Side. So I'm going to play Walk on the Wild Side before I close here. Somebody just messaged me. Let's see if I can hear. So let me talk about my friend Joe. Just say, can you post something, show what folks are bringing to the potluck? Joe is a good friend, but I get that question every time we do potluck, all the time. And again, it's old school thing, and I'm not picking on Joe by any means, because again, he's not the only one that asked me this. My first thing is, I used to do that all the time, post stuff, and people just wouldn't let me know what they're bringing. And I got just frustrated with asking people and telling people what to bring. And then I started thinking about it. I grew up this way, and this is how it is. And all the potlucks I ever was, that's what the name potluck means. It's kind of like you bring stuff and you get potluck. And if we get 17 green beans, I guess we're just going to have a lot of green beans. So we will have turkey and ham, and I'll put it on there in the Facebook thing. But bring, again, whatever you want to bring, and we'll eat good either way. So I'm going to play Walk on the Wild Side. Again, that was a song that was created about Holly and was a song that, name? Oh, I'm going to look this up real quick. But while I'm looking this up, I want to give a little disclaimer that the song is not probably for younger kids. It's Lou Reed. So there's some things that Lou sings about that probably is not necessarily good. So... but the part about Holly is the very first part, and it's pretty appropriate for the song to be about her. It's pretty appropriate for her to be in this song, and it's based on her life, or at least the beginning of her. This story is her leaving at 15, 16 years old, hitchhiking from Florida. So listen to the very beginning. This song is a couple minutes long, and then at the end, I'm going to play Wizard of Oz. Over the Rainbow to finish the evening, basically in memory of Prism Radio shows. So with that said, here's Walk on the Wild Side. Listen to the very beginning.
Miami, FLA, hitchhiked away across USA, plucked her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. On the island, in the back room, she was everybody's darling. But she never lost her head, even when she was given head. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls go do 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 do. everybody had to pay and pay. A hustle here and a hustle there. New York City is the place where they said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey Joe, take a walk on the wild side. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, looking for soul food and a place to eat. Went to the Apollo, you should have seen him go, go, go. They said, hey sugar, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Alright. Ha. Jackie is just speeding away. Thought she was James Dean for a day. Then I guess she had to crash. Valium would have helped that fashion. Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, doo 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 doo.
Happy little bluebirds fly beyond the rainbow.